interesting setup where we're stacking interviews today. That'll happen sometimes. Good news is quality content. Also good news, plenty of room on the back end. Gives you a little time to think about what you want to talk about. Welcome to the show. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. My name is Jim Rome. We already had Florida State head basketball coach Leonard Hamilton. We are efforting Kenyon Drake. I'll have him momentarily. Coming up next segment, an NBA reporter for the LA Times, Dan Wojcicki. And then on the back end, we are wide open. So let me hit you with that phone number again, 1-800-636-8686. You can follow me on Twitter if you don't mind. In fact, I would love for you to follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Just as I would love for you to follow me on Instagram, at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. As I mentioned, we are joined right now by a running back for the Arizona Cardinals. He had nearly 1,100 yards from scrimmage last season, 10 rushing TDs last season, 1,598 rushing yards, 18 rushing scores, and 308 receiving yards since joining Arizona. He was a two-time national champion at Alabama. He is a Smile Train ambassador. He is Kenyon Drake. Kenyon, good to have you back. How are you?
Pretty good, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
Good to have you back. Let me check in on you and your pups. How are your dogs, Tyson and Maxine, doing these days?
Man, the pups are good, man. Getting bigger every day. Mama Bear Maxine is just, the matriarch of the house. She does what she wants when she wants, and Tyson is the baby, so he just gets spoiled. It's a great life to live.
It is a great life to live. I love it. All right, so you're coming off a year where you rushed for 955 yards. I would, if it were me, Kenyon, I'd round that thing right up to 1,000. So I'd ask you how it feels to have a 1,000-yard season, except you posted the other day a video of yourself training with the caption, 45 yards short of 1K last year. So how much does coming that close motivate you to hit it even harder in the offseason?
Yes, it's a great motivating factor. And more importantly, from a team standpoint, just because, like you mentioned before, I'm used to being a champion. You know what I mean? I played at Alabama, surrounded by a bunch of great men, and they helped elevate my game to where I am today. And that motivation and that attention to detail and that pursuit of perfection that I learned there is something that I take heed to every day as I'm in this league, in this position, to go out there and showcase my skills. So falling short of that milestone, that benchmark is definitely something that kind of ate at me as the season ended. But more importantly, like I was saying, I wanted to get to the playoffs. I know the Cardinals hadn't made the playoffs in 4 or 5 years, and we fell short of that goal after starting like 6-2. So that's definitely another motivating factor, is just to kind of get to that point to where, you know, we can get to the playoffs, because at that point, anything can happen.
Kenyon Drake joining us. All right, so let me follow you up on that. The team did take a big step forward last season. You got off to that great start, but as you just mentioned, it did not end the way you would have liked. But what did you make of the offense this past year, and in particular, how Kyler Murray led that offense in his second year?
Yeah, the offense made big strides and bounds from the year before. Continue to learn, especially within the circumstances. I mean, everybody else had to obviously deal with the circumstances as well. Shout out to everybody that's kind of out here fighting through the pandemic and making the most of the situation. But nobody knew if we were going to have football season. And we were able to kind of go out there, and some games we really flashed, was able to, make big plays, and some games we fell short of our expectations to a great degree. So just find that consistency, and I'm sure he would mirror that sentiment. Find that consistency and doing it game in and game out is what makes great team and great players great. And I'm sure he's doing all he can to, continue to build upon the success he's had. And I'm looking forward to him continue to be the great superstar he will be in this league.
Kenyon Drake, my guest. Now, when you came over to Arizona after your time in Miami, you took your game to a new level this past season, which was your first season as a full-blown featured back. What was that experience like for you? And then how much did it mean to you to have that opportunity to show the rest of the league what you could do with an opportunity like that?
Yeah, it meant a lot to me. And I'm very appreciative of Cliff Kingsbury, Bidwell, Kime, just all the guys there, you know, with the decision making to, you know, give me that opportunity. And, you know, I felt like I went out there and I, you know, did the most what I could with the opportunity. Like I said, fell short of certain, you know, statistical goals that I set for myself. 10 rushing touchdowns is something that I'm very proud of. And I know the guys, you know, in front of me also are very proud of that. But I know 45 yards short of 1,000 yards left a bad taste in all of our mouth who was involved with the running game. So, you know, just want to continue to build upon that. You know, showed I could run between the tackles, showed I can be, you know, that type of back. But, you know, my game in itself, I feel still remains on my versatility, being able to, you know, make plays in space. But also, like you said, I was able to show that I can be a every down back. And, you know, can't do it on my own, man. You know, got a bunch of great guys in the room with me, including Chase Edmonds, DJ Foster, you know, Benjamin, Jonathan, just a bunch of great guys that I was able to lean on personally in those times where I felt like, you know, I wasn't doing enough. They helped me to continue to persevere and continue to lead that running game as best as I could.
We're talking to Kenyon Drake. So it seems to me, and from what I'm hearing, you like it there. You like it there. You're comfortable there. You like the opportunity. You've got some unfinished business. But you did play this season on the transition tag, and you are scheduled to be a free agent next month, and there are going to be some decisions coming up in your future. So how are you going about evaluating the options in front of you, and what are you hoping to see in terms of an opportunity?
Yeah, I'm really just taking everything a day at a time right now. You know, enjoying the off season as I can in the capacity that you know, we're allowed with the pandemic, but also just kind of, you know, making sure that I'm building a good base for what I expect my body to feel like and look like once kind of start ramping up a little bit more. You know, like I mentioned before earlier, talking on the Good Morning Football show, I just, you know, put everything, you know, in the hands of the people whose job it is to, you know, continue to put me in that best situation from that contractual standpoint with Sports Trust and Pat Dye Jr. and my marketing reps there. They do a great job, done a great job so far in my career. Going to continue to have support and trust and, you know, their decision-making. Obviously, we're going to be head-in-head with that. But, you know, like I said, just focusing on what I can control right now. Did what I could on the field, doing what I can right now in the offseason. And once we cross that bridge, we'll see what the future holds for me.
All right, so one more thought about that bridge. I mean, fit is so important, but so is getting what you're worth on the open market. So would you be willing to take a hometown discount to stay in Arizona, or do you owe it to yourself to see what's out there?
Yeah, man, that's really a great question. You know, it was a weird year in a sense to me being on the transition tag and feeling like another contract year, because I felt like I played pretty well at the end of the last year, you know, still trying to find my footing in the consistency of, you know, the running game. And then this year, I felt like I put too much pressure on myself to go out there and just make plays continuously instead of just playing ball, letting the game come to me. That's something that I've been trying to get a footing with in my entire career, to be honest, because I'm used to being a home run hitter, you know, coming in, making a spark. But when, you know, you got the brunt of the running game on your shoulders, the most important thing you can do is just be consistent, going out there, down in and down out, getting the yards that are there, and, you know, not trying to put too much pressure on yourself to make too many big plays that aren't there. That's a testament to just my maturity and continuing to see myself build my running game, my repertoire up in that degree. So I guess with a long-winded answer, I don't know. I would love the opportunity to come back to Arizona, but also do want to, you know, get the most of what I feel like I deserve. So we'll see.
Kenyon Drake's my guest. You know, one of the things I appreciate about the conversation you and I had last summer is the fact that we could talk about things away from football. As an example, you recently did a master class with NASA astronauts. How did that come to be? How did you get into space, astronomy, and aeronautics?
I've always had a calling to it, I guess, per se. Now, my mathematics and science background didn't necessarily allow me to kind of go into that field. So luckily, my athletic ability and, things of that sort was able to make up for what I lacked in that degree. But I've always had a love for outer space, for science, for just the things that astronauts and scientists do for the world and expanding our horizons. So given that opportunity, with the platform that I have, I feel like you can almost be able to reach into different bags. If I didn't have this blessing of a platform being an NFL player. So my marketing rep was able to reach out to NASA. I've done a couple of, you wouldn't think that NASA needs any type of social media boost from myself personally, but they were open arms to me promoting things that they were doing on their social media platform, and they opened up the chance for me to just be a fly on the wall on a Zoom meeting call with scientists and personnel that are leading the charge for the Perseverance rover that just recently landed in Mars. So congratulations to the success and humanity for that. And it was just a great thing to be a part of, and just to listen and just soak in knowledge of people that are literally out of this world.
Literally out of this world. I'm glad you mentioned it like that. So when you talk about people that are literally out of this world and other horizons, I'm not sure how much thought you've given to this, but if you had to say, do you believe there are other forms of life somewhere out there?
Yes, of course. I would be doing a disservice to not only myself and my beliefs, but just what we are as, beings in this vast, vast universe, man. I mean, there are so many opportunities in this, our own world, to be whatever we want to be. So then once you think about the vastness of space and just the possibilities of what could be out there, like, it's limitless. So you can't say that we're the only one. I can't say intelligent life, because we don't know, but there's for sure, somewhere where there's microbial life beings, forming, maybe they kind of, had their life cycle go through and pass with a dying sun that, went through its life cycle. And maybe there's just so many things that we don't know. If you look out into that vast darkness out there and you see those stars, lights coming to you, that's literally a picture of the light that at that time, what it looked like. And that was the stars are hundreds of millions of light years from us from now. We don't even know what it looks like in the present day. That's just what the picture looks like from that time span. So it's crazy to really think about the vastness of space.
My man. Yeah, I don't know for certain. I've never actually seen it with my two eyes. I would think it would be pretty arrogant to think we're the only ones. Listen, you're right. An ambassador for Smile Train. For those who do not know, what is Smile Train all about? How did you first get involved with that?
Yeah, Smile Train is a nonprofit organization that benefits cleft lip and cleft palate victims. Well, I can't say victims. They're really born that way. And that's something that means dear to my heart, because, I was blessed to be born, with the ability to run, jump, speak, just, little things that we take for granted. And when you have a hole in your mouth or a hole in your lip, it prevents you from having, perfect speech, being able to eat, drink, just a lot of different things that we take for granted. And with it being a very cheap surgery, a donation of like a little over $100 to help somebody who literally changed their whole life around, from kids to adults. And I was able to visit Brazil, Rio de Janeiro to be exact, and also visited Mexico City like 2-3 years ago now. Was planning on going to Peru, but obviously COVID put a stop to that. So I'm just excited to continue to be an ambassador now, just from a distance in terms of just using my platform to continue to push out their goals and dreams of continuing to make this world a better place.
Good for you. Arizona Cardinals running back Kenyon Drake, my guest, two-time national champion from Alabama as well. He is a Smile Train ambassador and much more. Kenyon, appreciate you. Great to have you back on the show. Thanks so much. Let's be sure we do it again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on, as always.
Always good to talk to you, Kenyon. Appreciate you. Thank you. Kenyon Drake, good conversation. Really interesting conversation. We are stacking good conversations. When we come back, another friend of the show, Dan Wojcicki, joins me. And then after that, a ton of things to get to. But he's coming up first. So my thanks to Kenyon. And a reminder to you, when you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you were talking to somebody who is not waiting for their turn to speak, but somebody who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you. They're ready to give you advice on everything from laptops to the cloud and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. In other words, our advisors listen so you know that your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor right now at 877-ASK-DELL. That phone number again is 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
What's cracking? So, still ahead, I want to talk about Tiger Woods in the interview he did with Jim Nance and what to make of that. I don't want to read too much into that, but I'll read some things into that. That's coming up. First up, though, we are joined right now by a beat writer for the Lakers on the Los Angeles Times, a panelist on our daily TV show back in the day, a dad rock aficionado. He is a friend of the program. He's going to help us break this all down. Dan Wojcicki. Dan, what's going on, man? How are you?
Jim, I'm good. Happy New Year belated, I guess, right? And hope you're well.
Same with you, Dan. Good to have you back. All right, so if you're a Laker fan, how concerned would you be after watching them blow a 17-point lead last night and losing to Washington in OT?
I don't know that I'd be concerned as much as I'd be confused, I think would be kind of the place that I would be, because on one hand, you look over and you see Anthony Davis in street clothes. You know Dennis Schroeder is at home in a quarantine after being exposed to COVID and isn't on the team. So you're missing 40% of your starting lineup, right? Like, your second and third best starters are not there. And you know that that's a lot of firepower that you don't have. So that part of it, I think, would kind of lower the expectation bar. But then you're right. I mean, you see a team that is good enough to go up 17, is good enough to seemingly like slam the brakes on this losing streak, and then watching it all sort of fall apart as they just looked. I mean, to me, Jim, they looked tired. And it makes sense when you consider the sort of the year they've had, the offseason they didn't have, the year that a lot of them had last year playing, you know, deep, obviously the deepest team, last team left standing in the bubble. You know, you start to wonder if like a little of this is just sort of cumulative fatigue, if this is sort of the grind of the season. And, you know, when you're a little shorthanded, it's harder to grind it out.
Dan Wojcicki's joining us. So, Dan, that brings us, of course, to LeBron, who made it very, yep, very clear after the game. He does not feel like he's being played too many minutes, even though he was over 40 minutes again. That's the fourth time this season. I mean, like, Dan, he's in amazing shape. Nobody would ever dispute that. But he's coming off the shortest offseason of his career. He's currently playing without AD and Dennis Schroeder. Doesn't it stand that there's got to be a breaking point somewhere, even for an outlier like LeBron?
Yeah, I mean, right? Like, it's sort of, it comes for everybody eventually. Sort of, and he's managed to fight this off longer than any player that I can think of, and he may continue to fight it off. But you're right. I mean, like, not only has it been four games, Jim, this year that he's played over 40 minutes, last year in the regular season, he only did it twice. You know, so things are not trending wildly positively on that front. And guess what? When they play Utah on Wednesday night, if that game's close, if that game pushes somehow into overtime again, you can expect LeBron to be on the court for that, too. It's just sort of his His competitiveness, the work that he does put in to be in that place physically. But look, when you watch him night in, night out, you do see the signs. You see, I think physically, obviously, his legs are a really easy thing you can tie to kind of the shooting over the last 10 games. You know, under 30%, closer to 20% really from deep. He was 2-for-10 last night. He misses a potential game-winning free throw short. But I also see, like, the mental stuff, you know, the turnovers. He fouled Russell Westbrook last night in overtime, Jim. Westbrook beat the Lakers to the basket. It was a situation where they needed to foul really quickly. They were down, I believe at the time, they were down one. And at that point, like, LeBron's probably a top two or three smart player in the NBA. At that point, the smart thing to do is just let Westbrook score. You know, fouling him lightly, and the worst thing that can happen is a three-point play. And LeBron fouled him lightly. Westbrook made the layup. Thankfully for the Lakers, he missed the free throw, so they still had a chance to tie. But it was just like an uncharacteristically, like, pretty not smart basketball play. And to me, that's a sign of mental fatigue, too. And I think, you know, the usage and stuff is up. But the Lakers, Jim, are in this really unique situation right now. I was just kind of running through some data over these last three games during this losing streak, and it's like, you know, the only lineups they're really having success with are the ones where LeBron James is on the court. And it's not even close. When he leaves the floor, like, they have been awful in this stretch. And so if you're the Lakers, kind of how do you balance that big picture with sort of the need to you know, still win games along the way? It's a really interesting position there.
It really is. Dan Wojcicki is joining us. You know, you had a really interesting piece earlier this month on his ability to play at the level that he is after all this time.
Yeah.
When you were talking to head coaches around the league, what did they tell you about the level that he's still playing at right now?
I mean, he's an MVP candidate, right? And he, you know, may even be still the best player in the league. I think coaches see when LeBron goes to that, like, A-game-like place, it's a level that very few other guys can get to, both physically and mentally and even, like, competitively, right? It's sort of this weird kind of combination of everything at the same time. I feel very good about the fact that I wrote that story, hit send, and then I think he, you know, he's maybe made, like, three three-pointers since then. I feel a little bit better. But you know, it was, you know, the shooting early in the season was a really impressive sort of added wrinkle to his game. The smarts are at such just a, you know, another level. And, you know, physically, like, this is a guy that doesn't really ultimately slow down that much. I know we're talking about kind of the cumulative minutes, but he's a guy that's still out there every game. It's wild to think that this is still the best version of LeBron James. But look, if you talk to people that were in the bubble and I was there and you talk to other coaches and stuff, he was the best player in the bubble. And that's wild. And I think it's certainly conceivable that when the games matter most again this year, he might be the best player again. And that's just an incredible testament to his longevity and his ability to continuously deliver when the expectations are so high.
We were talking to Dan Wojcicki for a few more moments. Dan, you mentioned the Utah Jazz. So the Lakers are a different team this year than they were last year. But what do you make of what you've seen from Utah so far this season?
I mean, it's one of my favorite eight-man rotations in the NBA, I think. They just all make such sense together, Jim. It's like, you know, you especially in the league right now, as you look around and you see teams that have so many, like, just stars, like, flat out, like, you know, all capital letter superstars. And the Jazz have some great all-NBA type players, don't get me wrong. But it does feel like it's a much more kind of cumulative thing, that it's a group that just fits together and everybody sort of elevates one another. Anybody who's around the NBA loves Mike Conley. So I think watching Mike Conley play well is something that everybody's happy about. I really hope that tonight he hears his name as an all-star reserve. I think he certainly deserves it. The Jazz probably deserve three guys. They've been just a fantastic team to this point. I think some people still have questions about, you know, can they get over the hump in a playoff series when they don't have the best player, which is sort of that, you know, easy way to sort of pick a playoff series, because they're going to play a lot of playoff series where they don't have the single best player. But they might always have the best team and the best kind of group of guys. So it'll be really interesting to see how that sort of matches up with some of the individual star power that's out in the Western Conference.
Hey, Dan, where do you come out on Quinn Snyder? How good of a coach is he in your mind?
Top tier.
Right. Me too.
I think he's in that that elite class of NBA coaches. You know, it's funny. I remember once sitting in gym in your green room in the old TV studios talking to, I think it was Darren Collison at the time. We were talking about how there's really only a handful of NBA coaches who make like a huge difference. And, you know, Quinn Snyder is certainly in that class. I think just consistently his teams are so well organized. And look, and they're a team that's also benefiting from a lot of continuity and a clear understanding of what they want to do. And that's a credit to their front office, and it's a credit to their coaching staff.
All right, so before I let you go, what about the Clippers? How does this year's Clippers team compare to the Clippers team that imploded last year?
I mean, I think obviously they've added some shooting, which is important. I really think that the Serge Ibaka for Montrezl Harrell flip for them was a really important one, that they got a player championship tested, certainly has played in tons of big games, certainly more defensive minded than Montrezl Harrell, which is something the Lakers are kind of dealing with right now a little bit. That made a lot of sense to me. I still think that they've got backcourt questions. Obviously some health questions always that'll persist, but you know, they seem to be a team that's like more equipped for the playoffs, but I am very firmly in I'll believe it when I see it territory with the Clippers. I just, Jim, I feel like I've seen too much over the years. I've seen that rug pulled out from underneath them so many times that it's, you know, the burden of proof is now on them. But I think they put themselves in the position in a year where, I mean, look, they, you know, that game against Utah was terrific. They played great. The Brooklyn game was really, really fun. You know, a call maybe away from that game being a little differently, and they're in a good spot.
Dan, before you go, let me ask you, as a working journo, as you mentioned, you were in the bubble and we're still amidst the pandemic, and the way you do your job is very different now than the way you used to do your job. And you know Doc Rivers, what an unbelievable moment that was on that Zoom call a few days back when he hit Jackson Frank with that JC blast for asking a question from his bed. What was your reaction to that?
I mean, it's terrifying. I mean, as like a reporter, like I'm very locked into like trying to be in a very specific place in my home that where it looks like sort of professional. But every once in a while, like, you know, I'll be on the couch or something like that. And, you know, maybe in some sweats or something. And you get a little nervous that you're going to get caught in an embarrassing, not like a compromising, like, you know, tubing situation, but like something where you're just going to look stupid. And it's happened for sure. I think for me, like the best sort of moment was Frank Vogel was talking about how they were going to have to like talk faster during timeouts and meetings because the NBA had like limited sort of, you know, as part of the COVID protocols, limited the time they would have together. And I kind of cracked that they should maybe hire the guy from the Micro Machines commercials, which is a reference that I thought was just spot on. Nobody knew what I was talking about. It was total crickets on the Zoom. And like, you're not even in a position where you can save yourself. You just have to sit in it. And just sitting your horrible joke and just living it while everybody just kind of stares at you. You're not sure if the screen's frozen. No, it's just a bad joke, and you just got to live with it. I want to get back and see people in person where I can embarrass myself with my references, at least in eye to eye.
Yeah, but Dan, the thing is, if it'll make you feel better, maybe you had to wear that one. However, you just very casually inserting a Tubin reference is going to make clones worldwide very, very happy. So you just buy yourself a lot of goodwill with them, if that'll make you feel better.
If I can get a fast talker and a Jeffrey Tubin reference in the same interview, Jim, I consider this a success.
There you go. It always is. He is an NBA reporter for the LA Times. He is all over the LA Lakers. He is a good friend of the program. Dan Wojcicki, my guest. Good job, Dan. Great to have you back. Thanks so much.
All right, Jim. Be good.
You too, dude. Well done. And I know the clones think that you did a really nice job. I know James Kelly thinks that you did a really nice job. And I also love you referencing an exchange you had with Collison, Darren Collison, in the green room of our show back in the day about Quinn Snyder. He's a good man, Dan Wojcicki. Excellent, excellent reporter. All right, so we've done the three interviews, and they were all excellent. Here's what I'm looking at for the second half of the program. Number one, get your ass in here. Get up in here. Talk about anything you want. Just come strong. The things that I want to talk about, Dan Campbell. Remember Dan Campbell's introductory presser with the Lions and how wacky he was? I love the fact that he has since circled back. Somebody asked him about that. He's not walking it back. He's saying, yeah, pretty much that's who I am. That's what we're about. And I love that about that guy. So my thoughts on that. My thoughts also on Danger Russ. I mean, is Russell Wilson really on the trade block? And could the Seahawks really get what they're asking for him? And is he worth that? And how did it come to be? Like, when things go badly and when things go south, they go south quickly. I'm not saying that they will, but my personal opinion, they're not handling this the right way. Did you see Tiger Woods? I know a lot of you did because a lot of you have been commenting on it. This was not going to be something that was going to overtake the Genesis as it relates to what I had to say about it yesterday. Max Homa is an amazing story. He did a great thing. He missed a three-footer, which could have won him that event, and then came back to win it in sudden death. And there was no way I was going to let Tiger and his bloated face take priority over that, even though many of you wanted to. Now, the day after the fact, we can talk about what that bloated face might represent and whether or not we're going to see him at the Masters. He did an interview with Jim Nance, and I've got my reaction to it coming up. And then you got Fernando Tatis. I love him getting out and saying, you know what? I want that statue contract. I want a statue contract. When the Padres got with him and said, all right, so how do you want to do this? You want a short deal? You want a deal that's a little bit longer? And he said something to the effect of, I don't know, why don't we just do that one deal? Why don't we do that one deal that will take me to the very end and it ends with a statue or more? Love that. So those are the topics that I want to hit on. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up. First up, though, a sports update. A lot going on the...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I say, if you've been laying out, it's wide open right now. We are wide open halfway through it. 1-800-636-8686. Remember back in January, new topic, segue. Back in January when the Lions introduced their new head coach, Dan Campbell, he started reading like a manifesto for the team's new identity from a recycled copy of The Walking Dead pilot, I think.
We're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing, all right? That's going to be the mentality, all right?
Easy, Dahmer. I don't know what's more frightening. Dan Campbell threatening to bite off kneecaps at an alarming rate, or Dan Campbell dropping the word, all right, five times in 20 seconds.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right.
All right, all right,
all right,
all right, all right. That was then, all right, and this is now, all right. Dan Campbell is addressing that cannibalistic zombie presser for the first time since. And if you think my man has lost his taste for kneecaps, all right, you'd be wrong. Because Campbell has seen the headlines, he knows his rap, and he told Michigan Live yesterday, quote, I love the fact that we're only known as meatheads. I'm a meathead. I have limited brain capacity. I like that people think that. I'm good with that. I have zero problem with that, end quote. In other words, get this man his fork and knife and a pound of human flesh, literally, because he is hungry and he's going to eat. Hey, listen, I'm all about this. There's nothing more annoying and more lame when somebody walks back something and spins that same tired lie about how, yeah, well, I said it, but I didn't mean it. That's not who I am. That's not what I represent. It doesn't represent the people I work for. Never mind that it came from their own Gap. And when he said it, he was draped with company logos If that doesn't represent you and who you work for, then what does? But you hear it all the time, right? Somebody says something regrettable and they start backpedaling, assuring you, no, that's not what I mean. That is not what I mean. Wait, what you said is not what you mean. Except Dan Hannibal the Cannibal Campbell is out here saying, I love that everybody thinks that I'm some dumb meathead. In fact, I've got no problem with that at all. I'm happy for it. And personally, I have less than no problem with Danny Dahmer leaning into it. In fact, I love it. If you're going to threaten to eat your opponent, you better be fine with the response. And he is. And I see him working. He's telling the world, if you want to write me off as some dumb lunk with a half brain because of my presser, you go right ahead and do that. Sleep on me at your own peril. It's actually kind of awesome. He's turned the reaction to that bizarre introduction into fuel and a thinly veiled warning. And he's also turned it into extreme ownership, which I am all about. If you say something like that, own it. Dive in. Be that guy. Even if that guy is a meathead cannibal who says, all right, every 4 seconds.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right.
All right, all right.
All right.
You think I'm a meathead? Good, all right?
All right.
Why don't we go to the Urban Dictionary for the most legitimate definition of meathead? The UD defines meathead as, quote, an enormously muscular guy who cannot hold a conversation about anything other than weightlifting and protein shakes. He gets upset very quickly when he cannot complete his own sentences and thoughts. You'll find him at a nightclub wearing shirts that are 10 sizes too small. End of definition. So Dan Campbell's got zero problem with anybody thinking he's exactly that. Let's check it out. Enormously muscular guy. Check. My man goes 6'5", 265. He's made out of granite. Can't hold a conversation about anything other than protein. Check. According to Nutrition Facts, kneecaps are in fact 100% lean protein. Clean, burning fuel. Quote, gets frustrated when he can't finish his thoughts. Well, I mean, he does say, all right, where the punctuation is supposed to go.
All right,
check.
All right, all right, all right, all right.
Quote, you'll find him at a nightclub wearing shirts 10 sizes too small. Check, mate. Go peep this dude in Miami, roaming the sidelines as the Dolphins interim head coach back in 2015. Those polo shirts never stood a chance. Anyway, my man, DD, Danny Dahmer, I'm all about you embracing the meathead gloss and running with it. Man, it's actually a good look. And it's about time somebody stood by what they said. The last dude in Detroit was not a meathead. Just a guy who seemed to really enjoy meat and all other foods. And instead of owning things with reporters, he was just scolding them for their posture.
Well, you know, do me a favor. Just kind of sit up and just, like, have a little respect for the process. Every day you come in and ask me questions and you just kind of, like, you know, give me this. But, I mean, like, just be a little respectful. I'm asking just to be a little respectful in this whole process, okay? So ask me a question professionally and I'll answer it for you.
I mean, Detroit, after you hear that, after we run that back, man, how much better does this sound right about now?
We're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right, that's going to be the mentality. All right.
All right. All right. I'm telling you, I would take that guy over Fat Matt Pat.
Fat?
Any day.
All right.
In fact, I'm starting to really like this guy. I'm starting to really like this guy.
All right.
Coach him up, Dahmer.
All right.
All right. I like
all right,
it.
All right,
I love that he didn't want that back. I love that he leaned into it leaned into it, man. He dove into it. Yeah, good. You think I'm a meathead? Right, I am. You think I'm a dumb lunk? Right, I'm that too.
All right.
I like it. 1-800-636-8686. Love it when people say things that get other people's attention and then don't try to walk it back. Gearing up for the third and final hour. But before I do that, let's go to the phones. Let's go to San Diego, right to the front of the line. Nicole, good to have you, Nicole. How are you?
I'm good. So I just want to talk about how relatable yesterday's JJ Watt tweet was, where it takes him an hour to pick some place on DoorDash. So give him a break picking a new city, since only one of the biggest decisions of his life.
I'm with you, Nicole. I thought that was pretty cool, actually, myself. Good to have you. War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones.
What he did was he tweeted, quote, "I scroll through DoorDash for like an hour before I pick a restaurant, man. You're going to have to give me a second to choose a new team and city." She said, it's so relatable. He's so relatable. He's that, or he's kind of clever with his social media, or he's both. We all do that, though, right? When you go for one of those food services, food delivery services, does it not take an hour to figure out exactly what it is you want? It does. It takes a long, long time. And then it's never quite what you want it to be. He's right. So if it takes him an hour to find a restaurant, man, you have to give him a little bit of time and a little bit of space when it comes to finding a new team. Nicole said, that is so relatable. War Lady Clones. All right, so when we come back, third hour is open. I want to talk about Tiger Woods. I want to talk about Russell Wilson. And I've got plenty of time for your phone calls. Like, she cut the line, man. It was that easy. And Fernando Tatis. I definitely want to hit that too. Stay tuned.